Well, good morning, everybody. So glad you're here. I'm very thankful to have my sister and her husband, John, with us today, and Lisa's sister, Marcia, and husband, Tom, with us today. So it's always fun to have family. Thank you. I was thinking about you, Karen, my sister, as we were singing that song, because it referenced a phrase that we ended up praying at the end of every meal. As kids, we prayed at the beginning of the meal and at the end of the meal. At the end of the meal, we would say, do you remember what? It's bad when all of a sudden I blanked out on it, so I was helping. Yes, I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. We'd say that at the end of every meal. And as get to the teenage years, when you think everything is silly that parents do, I thought, why do we say the same thing every single day? But what an important phrase. I want to encourage you to think with me today about the importance of being thankful. It's one thing to have a fall holiday on giving thanks. It's another thing to see the scriptural instructions to continually give thanks. I want to bring up some points about that, encourage us to be people who are continually giving thanks. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we recognize that you invite us to see what you are up to recognize your goodness, to recognize your mercy, to recognize how you continue to be pouring out your unfailing love upon us. It endures forever. So we ask, Lord, that whatever might need adjustment today, that you, by the power of your Spirit, would lift us up to see things from your perspective, to recognize all the things we have to give thanks for, and to recognize that you are continually pouring your mercy upon us. Speak through your word, we ask. Silence the enemies, we ask. Minister to each heart, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. There's an interesting verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. In the NIV, it reads this way, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence in awe. Most of the summer, I'm going to be focusing on being worshipers, on worshiping God. And this verse says, this is how you worship God acceptably. We want to worship God acceptably. And what is a condition for that? Before that phrase, it says, so let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably. In other words, this verse is telling us that thankfulness is a prerequisite for acceptable worship. We have so many different habits and traditions on worship, but they vary from church to church. But what does the scripture say about worship? We cannot miss this one. To worship acceptably, we begin with a thankful heart towards God. Thankfulness towards God. Now, interestingly, if you were reading this out of the King James Version, if in place of where it says, let us be thankful, it actually reads, let us have grace and thereby serve God or worship God acceptably. Why would the King James say, let us have grace, and the NIV say, let us be thankful? Because the word in Greek is the word charis, which can be translated either grace or give thanks. It's the same word. In other words, these two concepts are intricately linked through the Greek word. When we have grace, we are giving thanks. When we give thanks, we are experiencing grace. In other words, you cannot experience grace without thankfulness. We all want grace. If we want grace, we must be thankful. Our call to worship verse was from the psalm. I love that psalm. I want to read the whole psalm to you. I'm kind of changing the order of how I decided to preach things compared to what I wrote them down here. So give me a second to flip to the psalm for today. Psalm 100, starting at the beginning. Psalm 100, starting at verse 1. The Lord, he is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. That center verse there, have you thought about this? The way to have access into, the way to enter into a connection with God. This says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We could think about moving into the Old Testament tabernacle structure. There's this getting closer and closer, or before the tabernacle, before the temple was built, the tabernacle tent-like structure. There was this progression, this procession that would go on as people neared it. And this is instructing us, the way to enter the gates is with thanksgiving. If you come up to the outside of the tabernacle and you want to get in, the key to getting in through the gates, the unlocking that happens to get in through the gates is thankfulness. The implication would be that if you come with a different key or you try to get in a different way, if you come with some other attitude, the gate's not going to swing open. The way to enter through the gates is with thankfulness. You could maybe stand outside and yell. You could maybe stand outside and throw stones, but it's not going to get you in until you come with the right key. The key to getting into the presence of God is thankfulness. How many times have you and I both prayed and felt like our prayers were not getting anything accomplished? Thought maybe our prayers were bouncing off of the steel bottom of heaven, or felt like maybe we just were not having a connection with God. This is insight for us. This is maybe correction for us. Enter His gates, how? With thankfulness. One of the things I've noticed, and if you live in different parts of the world or even different church communities, you see different customs and habits. One of the common beginnings to a prayer here, the way a lot of people here start their prayers. In fact, I've heard Cody start a prayer this way. Lord, thank you for today. And I wonder how often we've said that without thinking about it. But in reality, it is a key way to begin our prayer. We begin with thankfulness. Now, what are we really saying? We're saying thank you for this day and everything in it. I was thinking back to a long time ago. How long would it be now? Our son Aaron was about 2 years old. We hadn't had our daughter yet, so he was a little under two. And at that time, he kind of reminds me of what the Nathan and Leah's boys look like. But we were sitting at our dining room table, and as we were going to pray for the meal, I said, Aaron, why don't you pray today? And we would usually start, thank you for the food. But he said, God, thank you for the chicken. And thank you for those potatoes, and thank you for the beans, and thank you for the milk, and thank you for my plate, and thank you for my glass, and thank you for our couch, and thank you for my toys over there, and thank you. He just kept looking around the room, and item after item he was saying thankful for, and at first I was laughing, and then I was thinking I should stop him, but then I realized, what a lesson for you and for me. We need our eyes opened up, not just thank you for today, not just thank you for the food, thank you for every aspect of everything that's in the day or that's in that meal that's in our lives. We're called to be people who see that everything comes from the hand of God. Every good gift comes down from our Father above. And we are to have a thankful attitude towards the little and towards the big, towards the things that bring pain and the things that bring joy. We're to have thankfulness. We enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Next Sunday, we'll focus in on praise, but continuing today with thanksgiving. And what should you be thankful for? Verse 5 goes on to say, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. The huge attributes of God, the way he treats us, are things we should be continually overwhelmed by and praising God for. In one way, you could think of it as a distinction. When we're thankful, we're appreciating God's goodness. When we praise, we'll talk about this next week, when we praise, we're recognizing God's greatness. And when we worship, we're recognizing and affirming God's holiness. With thanksgiving, we're recognizing God's goodness to us. So we enter with thanksgiving. Now here's a few more insights shared from some of Paul's letters. And it's a good study. Look up the word thankful or give thanks in your Bible and you'll see numerous teachings from the Apostle Paul. Consider this one from his letter to the church in Colossae, the book of Colossians. Colossians 3:15-17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Three times in that short paragraph, thankfulness is mentioned. The ending tells us that there's the way to decide whatever you can do, whatever you should do, whatever you should be involved in, can be evaluated against these two things. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in, first of all, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and secondly, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So if a young person comes up and says, is it okay for me to do this entertainment activity? Is it okay for me to be involved in this thing within my school or peer group? Is it okay for me to do this thing? Well, we ask the question, can you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And can you do it giving thanks to God? If either of those is a no, then that's an activity you should refrain from. If you can, in this case, do both of those, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and giving thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for this thing, then engage in it. Can you go fishing? If you can do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give thanks to God for it, then you can go fishing. Can you go to a movie? Sometimes you wonder if in the midst of that movie there's things being depicted that would make it really hard for you to be giving thanks for what's being depicted to God. So it brings about an opportunity for us to evaluate our activities, our behaviors, our social agendas, the things we entertain ourselves with. Is it something that I can be giving thanks to God for and do this thing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? So thankfulness helps us set limits on our lives. Or consider what Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 18. And this is that verse where he talks about being continually filled with the Spirit. It says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on to describe the things that happen when a person is filled with the Spirit. Have you ever wondered if you're Spirit-filled, if the Spirit is ruling and controlling and ministering through you? Have you wondered if the Holy Spirit has really got you and is in charge of your life? Well, evaluate yourself against this list. It says, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How thankful are you determines how Spirit-filled you are. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to be giving thanks. One more teaching from Paul, this time his letter to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16, 17, and 18. Short verses with powerful impact. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. People ask, what is God's will for me? Well, it's pretty clear. It starts right here. What is God's will for you? It's that you would rejoice always in Him, that you would pray without ceasing to Him, that you'd give thanks in all circumstances to Him. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Can you thank God for a storm? Can you thank God for a hurt? Can you thank God for a pain? You can only do that if, by the empowerment of the Spirit, you're recognizing that God in His goodness chooses to work all things together for good, chooses to do His work in the good and in the bad things so that we see His greatness on display. We can give thanks in storms and in struggles when we know that our God is bigger than the storms and the struggles. We give thanks. And one more from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All of us bring our requests to God, but do we do so in the prescribed way? If you're going to bring a request to God, Paul is teaching us here, always bring your requests to God with thanksgiving. Your requests come with thanksgiving as a prelude to them. Lord, I need daily bread. But if we're going to follow this pattern, we're going to say, Lord, thank you for all the bread you've given me for all the past years of my life. And thank you for all the bread you're going to supply all the future days of my life. In the middle of giving thanks for past and future, we can say, Lord, give me today my daily bread. But it begins with thanksgiving for all that God has done and has promised to do. Our attitude changes. We move from being beggars saying, Lord, please give me some bread, to being ones who say, you've given it to me in the past. You've promised to give it to me in the future. I'm so thankful. I know you're going to supply my needs today. Thankfulness changes the way we bring our requests to God. And I want you to think about one more thing. The role that thanksgiving has in releasing the power of God to do His miraculous work in our lives. The way the giving thanks releases the power of God to do the miraculous in our lives. And for this, we see it in our gospel lesson for today. It's from Luke chapter 17. It's when Jesus is confronted or meets a group of lepers. Luke 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as He entered the village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When He saw them, He said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. They came and stood at a distance and called out. And from a distance, Jesus replied back, go, show yourself to the priests. They never even got close to Jesus, but He told them to go. And it was required that if someone was healed from leprosy, they needed to go to the priests and be given a certificate certifying that they had been healed before they can re-enter the society and the social life. So Jesus says, go. And what's He saying to them? He's saying, go, and on the way, you will receive what I have intended for you to receive. He goes on to read, and as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. 10 of them were cleansed. All of them had been at a distance and went even further away from Jesus as they went towards the priest to demonstrate their cleansing. One of them came back. One of them encountered Jesus. One of them was at Jesus' feet. Access into the gates comes through thanksgiving. Here we see it is thanksgiving that brings access to the feet of Jesus. Access to the feet of Jesus comes through thanksgiving. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan, not a Jewish person. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you." If you are reading along in your scriptures, you might have seen a different word there. Some translations say your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. Here's the interesting thing if you read it in the original language. It's the word sozo, which means saved. What's Jesus saying here? Is he saying your faith cleansed you? Because all 10 of them were cleansed from their leprosy. This one with thanksgiving, this one with a thankful heart, bows down, falls on his face before Jesus, has an encounter with Jesus, has access to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "Your faith has saved you, cleansed you, made you well." Is it possible that your access to Jesus, your being saved, your encountering his work that brings you out of the condition of a heart bound up with anger, with resentment, with pain, and chains blocking you from Christ, all of that requires, all of that can only be broken when there's a thankfulness towards Christ. Is it thankfulness that gives you access to the feet of Jesus? Was this the only one of whom it was said, "Your faith has saved you"? My friends, I think there's a lot of people that have an entitlement mentality, thinking God has to give me what I want. God has to meet my needs. God has to answer my prayers. God has to make my life full of wealth and prosperity and goodness and joy. And when God doesn't perform the way they are demanding that he perform, they get angry and they walk away and say, "Well, then I don't want anything to do with you. You're not a very good Santa Claus after all. I'm not going to believe in Santa Claus God anymore." And they walk away. But what if they came with their face on the ground, aware of all the ways that Christ has already cleansed them and ministered to them, aware of all the blessings they've already received from the hand of God? What if they fell on their face, recognizing the sovereignty of Christ, and said, "Thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for all the ways you've ministered to me." I think the enemy wants us to be blind to this truth. You see, throughout the Old Testament, cycle after cycle, of the people forgetting to be thankful. You see it when they were wandering in the wilderness. They started despising all that was happening to them. They started becoming, Scripture says, grumblers or complainers. And what happened when they had that attitude? You see that God actually brought about a time of correction. In Numbers 21, we see God releasing fiery serpents upon the people. Paul refers to this time in his letter to the Corinthians. He's instructing that we should not be like those Israelites who were destroyed by the serpents because of their grumbling. Instead, we should be people who are recognizing the goodness of God. Do you know any grumblers? Do any of you live with grumblers? Don't raise your hand this time. What about complainers? Do you know any complainers? Let me encourage you. A complaining attitude, a grumbling attitude, being like these Israelites, puts us in a position of having either fiery serpents or some other type of poison from the enemy affecting us, affecting our hearts, affecting our bodies. What is the key to access? What is the key to prayers that are heard? It's thanksgiving. It's thanking God for His mercy. It's thanking God for His goodness. It's thanking God for His grace. It's thanking God that His love lasts forever. It's coming to God with thanksgiving, moment by moment. So let me encourage you to become a thanksgiver. Maybe today, as we're concluding this service, you could ask God, reveal 10 things that I can give thanks for right now. 10 things, whether it's some relatives coming to visit, whether it's the fact you have a congregation to enjoy and people to have as friends, whether it's the fact that you live in a beautiful part of the world. 10 things ought to roll off the tips of our tongues pretty easily. Let me give you a challenge. While having refreshments, while you're still in the building, share with the people you visit with, what's something you're thankful for? I'm thankful for this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that times we forget to pause and recognize what you have done, what you're doing, who you are, the ways you've rescued us, the ways you've cleansed us, the ways you've saved us. Lord, we first confess our lack of giving thanks. And we ask now by the empowerment of your Spirit that you would give us thanks-filled hearts, that we would be filled with gratitude, that we'd see all the ways you've been good to us, that we would continue to look up and praise you, that we not just say thank you for the food, but we'd be able to say thank you for the chicken and the beans and the gravy and the milk and the glass and the plate and the knife and everything that you've given us. We pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name.